we open up with this brainstorm time of the difference between, as you guys saw over here, was command and invitation, and we talked about the two different just words and how we associate those two words. And then we asked ourselves the question, which one would we find Jesus in? And Donna, even though she's not here today, she ruined it because she said, like, the second one, she said, oh, Jesus under invitation. So, but we all kind of agreed, she didn't ruin it. We all kind of agreed that when we think about Jesus' nature, when we think about his character, when we think about his personality, when we think about kind of the scope of his ministry, we feel that Jesus' kind of intent and the way that he would maybe approach life and the way that he'd approach things would be more of an invitational kind of realm, right? We don't see Jesus as a military leader forcing people to do certain things, commanding people, saying, if you don't do this or else, and ultimatums and all those sorts of stuff. We found Jesus kind of more in this invitation side. And that's this kind of invitation piece that we're using is Jesus is inviting us to the kingdom life, right? Jesus is inviting us to the kingdom life. We use that quote from Jan Johnson, which I'm going to bring back in a little bit. We'll look at that quote again. It's a very important quote. But Jesus invites us to a kingdom life. Now, what I want to brainstorm again, because I love the whiteboard and I had fun with it last week, is I want us to brainstorm the word perfect, okay? So, again, images, thoughts, stories, people. When you think about the word perfect, definitions, when you think about the word perfect, what comes to mind? No wrong answers here. Yes. And maybe you'll see something that I did kind of funny here. So, what comes to mind?
100%.
Jesus.
My teacher brain. Raw. Jesus. Unattainable.
Unattainable? That's a good one. Good, yeah. I got a couple images I'm going to throw in too, because I was thinking about this too, so I want to share mine. One of the things that came to mind when I thought about perfect, I thought about the perfect game, right? Sports fans. So I thought about baseball, Rob, right? What's the perfect game? Nobody even gets to first base. You had two perfect games?
No hitter.
And then when I Google search perfect game, bowling came up too. So bowling kind of gets a little bit smaller but you can see there Brent Brooks nailed it, 330 points. So perfect. So that was kind of one for me. So keep going. Maybe this gets you thinking a little more.
Clean.
Flawless.
Flawless. There's a good word. Impeccable.
Are we going to spelling check this too?
Well, and again, you guys didn't catch me because I intentionally misspelled perfect here. You saw it? Okay. Yeah, I-M-P-E-C-C. I think it's just one C.
Symmetry,
good. Another spelling one.
First place in the endo race.
First place. Endo?
I don't know
what that is.
That's when you're starting to
fight. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Eldorado.
Eldorado.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Kathleen. That's nice of you. There's this thing out there, too. It's called the perfectly timed picture. You can Google search it. It's pretty funny. So you find out. Have you ever seen these, right? Perfectly timed pictures. I thought this one was funny because for all you pet people out there, this is a good one. The perfectly timed picture, right? So just if you have dogs and think that's cute, it's just, you know, there's a dog. And it's just so perfect to see these two things happening at the moment. And there's all sorts of weird, you know, like the one gymnast who has her head back and the way that they've taken the picture, she looks like she has no head. And then just this one girl had her ponytail whipping around the side, and the ponytail looks like she's vomiting. And so it's just all these perfectly timed pictures where it just happens in this split second of the shutter closing. Anyone else? Anything else? You guys are doing good. I got two more. I got, and nobody said this here, but my wife got close to it. She said 100%, but I was thinking the perfect 10, right? You know, I think about the NBA slam dunk contest when everybody's waving up their number 10 for the greatest dunks.
Balance.
Good, balance. Perfect balance, good. Oh, that's a good one. What was a girl that I almost put that girl up there? What was a girl that didn't she get like a perfect 10 like back
in?
Is that who it is? But what was the...
Oh, like more recently was there?
No, I thought there was an American girl that did it. Mary Lou is a lot easier to spell than Komenich, too, so let's go with that one. Yeah, there was like a Sports Illustrated. When I searched Perfect 10, there was a sports, like the old Sports Illustrated cover that came up and she's on it. And then I don't know about you guys, but I think a lot of you guys missed this one this morning because this is just a gimme that I have the perfect wife. I don't know if you guys know about that. There was this right there. The golf ball was sitting there and I just went. Also, I don't know if you guys know. I have the perfect, she's the perfect mother as well, too. I don't know if you guys know that one. Put it back there.
You lost one. I know, yeah. That was brave that day.
Hold on. Taking the perfect photo. Perfect. When you look at the definition of perfect, and we've had some fun with this morning, when you look at the definition of perfect, and I've kind of summarized a little bit of the definition here, you have this thing called the ideal type. Right? You have something that's complete beyond practical or theoretical improvement. I don't know why this just came to mind when I was doing my notes, like, oh yeah, the In-N-Out hamburger is complete. It's beyond practical or theoretical improvement. There's nothing you can do to an In-N-Out burger to make it any better, is there? No? Yeah, that's what I thought. And then without, took the calories out, yes. Without flaws, defects, or shortcoming. Brian, you said flawless, and then another word that I would kind of really close to that is faultless, yeah. Right? I think when we kind of, absolute is another word that kind of came up in the definitions. And then I started thinking about kind of as we think about it in Christianity, there's this kind of, when you think about somebody who's perfect, who's sinlessness, kind of moral superiority, they always tell the truth, right? They never have used the middle finger on the freeway or driving around. They help every old lady walk across the street. They mow the neighbor's grass. They are literally the Eddie Haskell of Christianity. They're the most perfect person in the whole world, right? So we kind of have that kind of concept going on when we think about perfection in Christianity and religion. And then there's that kind of, that dark side of perfection as well, which is OCD, right? The obsessive compulsive disorder where you have this disorder where everything, like if you looked at the Bibles right now and you saw they were all kind of, the pads were not perfectly, you know what I mean? And everything's not kind of, and you have this disorder, really, for some people, it's very difficult for them to overcome, to exist in an environment where things aren't perfect, right? And so we have this word perfect, spelled perfectly. And when we think about perfect, like, this is kind of the things that come to mind, right? This kind of flawless and faultless. And here's the thing, too. Let me speak kind of generally towards men and women here for a second. Men... I was doing some study, and actually Brené Brown has done this work. And in her book, Daring Greatly, and I know we've seen the TED Talk, or maybe y'all have seen the TED Talk, and she talks about kind of what brings on shame and guilt in men and women, right? So for men, what kind of brings on shame and guilt is we as men don't want to be perceived of as weak, right? We want to kind of project strength. We want to kind of be... My mentor once said to me, he said, hey, Eric, I bet you are always trying to answer the question, do I have what it takes? This is kind of a question that kind of resounds me. It's probably drives a lot. Do I have what it takes? Am I strong enough to do this? Am I complete enough to do this? You know what I mean? Or am I too weak? I can't live up to whatever this is, right? So men, we have this... What brings shame and guilt on us, for the most part, is being perceived as weak, right? Is that men? Are you with me on that? Kind of for the most part, right? Just kind of this, like, man, if I'm weak, if I don't have it all together, if I don't. But then Brené Brown says, for women, what brings on shame and guilt, right? She says this, and here's a quote. She says, the real struggle for women, what amplifies shame, regardless of the category, is that, ladies, tell me if this is true. We're expected and sometimes desire to be perfect, yet we're not allowed to look as if we're working for it. If you're really good, perfection should be easy. Many people think of perfectionism as striving to be your best, but it's not about self-improvement. It's about earning approval and acceptance. So kind of what Brown is saying here is she's saying listen, the struggle for men might be kind of weakness and being the perception of weakness. We want to be strong. We want to kind of be, you know, we want to be the brawn of it. And then for women, it's this struggle for perfection. Is that two pretty accurate, again, generalization categories, right? And so I would say maybe women, you might even encounter this with a little bit more weight on your shoulders when Jesus says, be perfect. You're like, oh boy, here we go again, right? Men, when we hear the Apostle Paul say that in our weakness, God is strong, and we're like, oh man, I don't want to be weak. I don't want people to think that I can't do this thing, right? I want to have it together. I want to be the strong one. So we might approach, and women are like, no, I'm good with that. You know what I mean? So it's just interesting, the kind of two different dynamics, the way that they pull at one another. But what we're talking about here is, so women, you might even feel this a little bit more than men. Men, we might sit here and be like, no, perfect. Man, I'll show up in board shorts, flip-flops, a sombrero, tank top. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what I look like. But women, you might feel this like, man, I got to be perfect. I got to be put together. I got to have things all together. You know, I want my kids all to look good, all these sorts of things. I want my house to look nice, right? That's why it's called a bachelor pad, by the way, right? So don't care about it. Men don't care, right? So anyway, with that being said, let's go and read this verse in Matthew 5. It's just one verse. It's really one verse. And I just want to look at the word perfect as Jesus talks about it. Giving you a little context before we actually read this verse. Jesus gives the most famous sermon in the world. The most famous sermon of all time. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. He goes out into a hillside and he begins to deliver this sermon. And we have it recorded down here. We have it given to us here. And it starts in Matthew 5. It's in Matthew 6. It's in Matthew 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. He opens up with the Beatitudes at the beginning of chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. Jesus is trying to show that the right side up way of the kingdom, right? He kind of is turning the powers upside down. He talks about salt and light. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. He talks about the fulfillment of the law. He says that he hasn't come to get rid of the Torah, the law. He wants to show you, he wants to embody what the law really looks like. He talks about murder. He says, if you think that you are doing such a great job just by not actually killing people, it's where your heart is. If you're calling people fool, if you're putting them down, if you're murdering them in your mind, that's just as bad as actually killing them. And he says the same thing then about adultery. Just because you haven't slept in the bed and had sexual relations with that person, but you're lusting over them in your mind and you're thinking about all these things, it's the same thing as having adultery. He talks about divorce. He's talking about relational faithfulness. He's talking about oaths. He's talking about faithfulness with our words. He's talking about revenge, right? How do we treat revenge? How do we treat people who wrong us? And then he talks about enemies. It's just all the easy. This is all, and again, remember, you have to read all these as invitations. Jesus inviting us into a kingdom life, right? He says, I'm inviting you to love your enemies, right? Try that on for size. See how that works. Or you can, if you think that hating your enemies and being bitter towards them and carrying resentment and anger and frustration the rest of your life, if you think that's a better way, then you can wander that way. So he talks about loving your enemies. And then at the very end of chapter 5, he gives us what? Like two more. He gives us 9 words. Somebody read them for me. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And this kind of feels like this kind of, man, honestly, I think I'd rather go get like a little garden shovel. And I think I'd rather try and move Mount Everest like 2 inches to the left than actually try and accomplish this in my own life. There's no way I'm going to be perfect. That's somebody else. That's unattainable, right? That is the flawlessness, right? This is something that we won't. Right? So, but Jesus says this and he's inviting us to this. So why would he invite us to do something that's completely unattainable? Right? So what you have to understand here is we need to go back to this word perfect that Jesus uses here. And last week we looked at that. Jesus invited us to repent. remember the idea behind repent is a lot of times people, you know, you see, it was funny, we were just driving down the 405 yesterday, and right, I think it's like between Magnolia and Brooker somewhere, there's that walkway bridge that goes over the 405, and there was literally signs that said repent and believe in Jesus. And when you hear this word repent, we said, a lot of people hear like, you got to stop sinning and you got to go to church, right? But remember what Jesus, that word means is you're going one way, and Jesus says, you're going the wrong way and you need to turn around and come back this way, right? And we talked about that Roman soldier that used that word repent to turn around, to give up your agenda, to change your mind, to change your purpose. And so again, what we're going to do here is we got to go back and we got to go look at what this word perfect means. How is Jesus using this word? What does this word actually mean? Because again, this isn't it, right? So Jesus uses, the way this word is used is like this. This is the word actually that's used here is teleon, right? I don't know why this is doing this. So in the word as Jesus would have used it, as they would have understood it, this word teleon, right? This is the definitions that would have been associated with it. Jesus might say, and so you can just kind of fill in any of these words. Jesus might say, you might understand as, I'm inviting you to be mature as your Heavenly Father is mature. I am inviting you to be complete, right? I am inviting you to have integration in all aspects. These last two are the ones that I want to focus on. I am inviting you to be whole, as your Heavenly Father is whole. I am inviting you to be fully functional, as your Heavenly Father is fully functional, right? Perfect, again, is this faultless, this flawlessness. It's complete beyond practical or theoretical improvement. The way that I like to think of these two categories with images is I would say that the word teleon is more kind of more of like an artistic piece, and the perfection is more of an engineering piece, right? So, look at him, smiling, adding happy little leaves and clouds, and right? And we think, when we read Jesus' words to be perfect, we think that he's actually asking us to be engineers and having zero, like, you are precise within 0.0001, Rob, you know about this, 001 millimeter this, right? And Jesus is saying, you are my piece of work. You are my art piece. And we are working like this. Say this piece that Mr. Ross is painting right here would be perfect, right? But he could add a happy little tree right here and it'd still be perfect, right? He could add a little fish jumping out of the mountain right here. It'd still be perfect. He could add some birds flying up in the clouds. It'd still be perfect, right? So what Jesus is inviting us into is way more of this artistic piece, right, is way more of that than it is becoming this engineer. Again, using my friend Jan's quote that we had last week, and I'm so happy to be able to put it up on the screen this week. Jan says it like this, and she quotes Dallas Willard. She says, our relationship with God is like that of adult children with their parents. We wiser parents don't go around shooting on our kids. Again, that does sound like a bad word, but it's not a bad word. We don't go around shooting on our kids. Jesus wooed people into the kingdom. Dallas Willard used to say that Jesus ravished people with the kingdom of God. We make it so attractive, you'd be crazy to turn it down. The result of living in the kingdom of God is what Dallas called, the way Dallas defined teleon, was being fully functional, right? Fully functional. Dallas said it like this in The Divine Conspiracy. Jesus says to his disciples, because you are living from God, as citizens of the kingdom, have the kind of wholeness or full functionality that God has, right? That's what God has. So we begin, I would say, this kind of first definition, I think that is really helpful as we encounter this when Jesus says, I want you to be perfect. Maybe instead of you thinking about, oh man, I have to be precise. I can't have any margin for error. There's no sin. I'm flawless. I'm faultless. Maybe you begin to say, like, Jesus is inviting me to be a fully functional human being, right? Brian, is it firing on all eight cylinders? Is that the popular phrase, right? Jesus is inviting us like, hey, I want everything to be working in your life, right? I want you to be fully functional. I don't want you to be deficient in certain areas. And I'll show you how to do that. You can partner with me in living this kind of life, right? Life is available. This is the big question of Jesus, right? When Jesus invites us to be fully functional, everybody wants to know, is there a life after death? And Jesus is saying there is life before death. It's available in the kingdom, and I'm offering it to you to be perfect, to be fully functional, to be whole. I'm inviting you into that. Are you willing to take that step with Jesus? Right? So, that's, to me, that's the first word that's really helpful to fill in there with perfect, right? And I think that when you go back to this word teleon that Jesus is using, I think that adds a little bit more of a healthy, or does it take a little bit of a weight off your shoulders? Like, Jesus, like, okay, I don't have to be perfect, right? But you're inviting me to be fully functional. The second piece that he's inviting us into is wholeness, right? Jesus is inviting us to be whole. So you could think of a good friend of mine. I'm going to use some of his work this morning. A good friend of mine, Michael Bischoff, and some of you guys know him. You guys might remember him. He used to have a piece of pottery, and he would hold this pottery and he'd say, "Hey, look, this is kind of how we are." And then he'd break the piece of pottery, and he'd say, "But we're all broken, right? This is kind of the state of who we are. We've been dropped, and we've been shattered, and there's fragmentation." And there's been disconnection, and we kind of all feel that brokenness. We've talked a lot about that, and I don't need to keep going on about that, right? Women, again, part of that brokenness is that kind of, I got to be perfect, right? I got to have it all together. Men, part of that brokenness is, I'm going to be strong for everybody. I can do it all. Don't worry. I got it all. You know. So we all kind of experience this brokenness, right? And so what Jesus does, again, in the Sermon on the Mount, his teachings and his healings and his parables, is Jesus begins to show us through the Sermon on the Mount, teachings, healings, how a life in the kingdom allows us to be whole again. Right? Jesus says, you can be whole as your Heavenly Father's whole. This passage that Jesus, this verse here, it's not a charge for flawless, faultless, sinless, OCD perfection. It's an invitation to partner with God in putting one's life back together in kingdom ways. I want you to be whole. I want you to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Are you with me on that? Is this helping to understand this little verse? Because sometimes people see this verse and they say, man, I'll never be perfect. I can't do it. And that's, I'd rather go use a garden shovel to move Mount Everest than even attempt that, right? It's the same thing. And Jesus is saying, but I want to invite you into wholeness. I want to invite you to being fully functional. So the question then would be, how do we become whole people again? How do we kind of put back all those broken pieces? How do we do that? What Michael identified, and Michael has done so much work on this, and he's literally spent the majority of his entire life, and he's helped so many people, especially pastors. A lot of his work is with pastors and people in ministry. He's spent his whole life helping people become healthy and whole. He calls his work holistic formation, is what he calls it. If you're interested in more of his work, his website is soulleader.org. I can give that to you as well, too. But how can a human being be formed in the image of Christ? How can we bring the different parts of us together back under Christ? And this is the diagram that he uses, and I'll show you this, and we're going to use some of this. So he identifies six different areas of human beings, right? And this is in no particular order, so this is not like one. They're all equal, right? But we'll just start at the top. He says that there's spiritual formation, and I'm just going to say a little bit of word on each. So I'm going to put that, so spiritual, missional, relational, emotional, mental, and physical. So there's spiritual formation, taking on the character of Christ by a combination of effort and grace. Your spirit's being formed. Your soul is being formed. We have effort into putting into this, but we also rely upon God's grace, God's empowerment to help bring this together. Remember, we will say that the gospel is opposed to earning, not to effort. The gospel is opposed to the mentality that if I go to church X amount of times, then God will do this for me. If I read my Bible 15 minutes a day, then God will do this for me. If I pray so many times with so much passion, then God, that's the earning mentality. The Bible's opposed to that. The Bible doesn't teach that. If you do X, then God will respond by doing Y. But the Bible says that you do have effort into putting into this kingdom life. It doesn't just come by sticking your Bible underneath your pillow and sleeping on it and hoping that everything's going to turn out all right. There's effort, there's grace, they come together, and when that comes together, that's how your spirit is formed into Christ-likeness. So Michael says there's spiritual formation, there's emotional formation, developing and increasing awareness into the human parts. We have emotions, when sometimes anger, frustration, hurt, pain, joy. You can go watch the movie Inside Out if you need some more questions on emotional formation, all the different emotions that are there. We have emotional formation, and we develop increasing awareness into the human parts of our being. And then we have relational formation, connecting with other disciples in authentic, loving relationships. We have mental formation, renewing our minds by focusing on who God is and who and his wisdom for us. We have physical formation, training our bodies with proper habits of eating, sleep, and exercise. And lastly, we have missional formation, focusing our passions and gifts on the mission of God and his kingdom. So what Michael does is he says that these are kind of like the different aspects of our life with Christ. And we observe them, that they're all to work together, right? None is more important than the other. They all need to work together. For me, I see a bicycle wheel, so I see different spokes on the bicycle wheel. If one spoke breaks, your wheel will be compromised and your ability to ride will be diminished. So going back to this picture, right? Like, what if you're like this spiritual guru, but you just don't know how to relate to anybody, right? And so you just live all by yourself in just some sort of a, you know, kind of a weird, hey, look at me, and you're just kind of a weirdo, right? What if you're just the most physically fit person in the world, right? And you have your crazy diet and all that stuff, but you're just an emotional infant because you're so self-obsessed with your own fitness and your own, you know what I mean? What if you have all your emotions, you're one with yourself, all those sorts of things, but you can't translate that into using that for a mission for Christ, for doing anything for Christ. So Michael says, look, these are the things that have to be brought back. When Jesus invites us in his whole work, when Jesus invites us to be perfect, Jesus is inviting us to be whole and put these things together under the rule and reign of Christ. Now, one of the things that Michael's done, and we're going to do this morning because this is so helpful, I think. Michael has created, he calls it his holistic formation personal assessment. Right? You are holistic formation. You are being formed into a whole person. And then you're going to like kind of see. And so what we're going to do, guys, I'm going to scare you guys for a second. This has 60 questions on it. Many of you have not done 60 questions since college. Real simple, though. We're going to take, 10 minutes. It shouldn't take you that long. 0 to 5. 0 is never. 5 is always. Never, rarely, sometimes, usually, frequently, always. So you just go in here and you just fill out. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I feel close and connected with God. 0, never. 5, always. 3, usually. Whatever that is. It's really simple, okay? I think we're all. And you're just going to fill that out. You'll add them up. Fill it out, add them up, right? And then on the bottom, he said there's a little bit of a scoring suggestion. So 0 to 50, or 40 to 50, this is probably an area of strength where you have much experience. 30 to 40, you're doing pretty well in this area and have some experience here. 20 to 30, you have some focused work you can do in this area. Below 20, this is an area of weakness that needs your immediate attention. So I've done this a few times kind of throughout, I would say, my ministry. I find it helpful because, again, if Jesus is inviting me to be whole, right? If Jesus is asking me to take the different aspects of who I am, my spirit, my heart, my mission that I have, that God's called me to do things in this world, the relationships that I have in my life, my emotions, getting my emotions under check, my mind, thinking about Christ, my physical body, eat, sleep, diet, all those sorts of things. If Jesus is inviting me to be a whole person, I'd like to know where I could do some work in that, right? I'd like to know. This isn't the end-all be-all, right? You're not going to be perfect, right? This is just kind of just an assessment, just to help us think about, hey, this is maybe something I could work on. I want you to take this now. We'll do it now. It's about the next 10 minutes. And then I'll say at, we'll see how everybody's doing at 11 o'clock. And then I just have like one more thing to say on it, and that's it. Okay? So if you need a pen, grab a pen. No, I turned the air off. Yeah. We got new pens. Uh-huh. Got them? Yeah, okay, we're good.
Because I'm perfect husband, I got one for you. And I got your pen, too.
Maybe somebody turned it on, but I turned it off. I'll go turn it off. Anybody got any questions on the assignment, or are we good? I'd like you to do with this is I'd like you to identify a low area for you. I actually have two low areas, so I have double the work. And I want you to either circle a practical step from the 10 questions. So for example, in spiritual formation, maybe that was low for you and you say, you know what, I would like to, you know, spend some time in solitude or silence. Maybe physical formation was low for you, and you know, I think I need to work on maybe getting a little bit more sleep or checking on my diet. So maybe there's just something in one of the 10 questions that's helpful. I noticed, so as I was going through the questions, not all of the areas have something for that. So I kind of have my own, I guess, list of six, and maybe you want to jump in on one of these. So for example, if spiritual formation was low for you, maybe a step for you, a growth step, just something to kind of bring a little bit more wholeness into your life. I just would ask that you would commit to reading the Gospels for 22 minutes straight. The reason I chose 22 minutes is because that's the length of an average sitcom, which every single one of us will sit through easily. And so I thought, what about if instead when that sitcom time comes on, you said, you know what, let me push that to the side for a little bit. Jesus is inviting me to be whole. I want to step into that for a second. I want to engage the words of Jesus for 22 minutes. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, starting somewhere and just saying, I want to read that. Emotional formation, maybe something for you here would be to just journal one page a day for the entire week, or every other day, or whatever you can do, kind of as a way to express what you felt throughout the day. I've found at different points in my life that journaling has been very helpful. To, again, help me identify my feelings. Guys, especially, we just keep it all bottled up. We just put all our feelings down and we just put a cork on it. We don't really let those feelings get out. We don't want any of our feelings to break down the facade of our strength and how powerful and, right? Because sometimes those feelings can be weakness. But maybe that's an area for you or something to work on. Relational. Initiate time to spend with someone discussing spiritual or personal matters. So text somebody, call somebody, can we get together? Can we have coffee? Can we have a meal? I want to just kind of share some things that are going on in my life. Maybe you have someone that you look up to spiritually. Hey, I want to ask you some spiritual questions. And then you have to follow through with that often, right? Because sometimes people are like, hey, that's a great idea. And then they never do anything after that. But follow through with that and say, hey, can we get some time to discuss some of these things? Physical, I just thought about right out here, you could walk or jog 3 laps around Eastgate Park. That's a mile. 3 laps around the park is a mile. Do it Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, whenever you can do it. What's that?
Is it four?
Three.
33%.
Yeah, it's
oh
three
gosh.
Laps. Yeah, look at that.
I'm going farther than I thought.
There you go. And then mental... and a podcast that just came out by a friend of mine, James Brian Smith, and you guys know we read his book when we did the book study. He did the Good and Beautiful Life. He just came out with a podcast. It's called Things Above, putting our hearts and our minds on things above out of Colossians 3. It's about 12 to 15 minutes. It's kind of almost like a devotional, kind of a meditative experience to literally just put your mind on things above. And he just came out with it, I think in August it just launched. So there's about 6 or 7 episodes that are out. It's excellent to think and put your mind on things above. And then missional. Again, you are sent on a mission from Christ. We're not here just kind of floating through life like a feather. We are on a mission in Christ. And so you could ask somebody, and I'd say preferably a non-Christian, hey, what might I be able to pray for you for this week? I was thinking about you this week, and I was just wondering, is there something I could pray for you for? And I think that most people would not be, that wouldn't be like an offensive, like, repent and believe, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be like that. It would just be like, hey, I've been thinking about you this week. Is there something that's been on your heart? Is there something going on with you? Could I pray for you? And I think most people would receive that as, yeah, I'll take that from you. If you want to, if you really want to just go for it all, I would say that you could walk around Eastgate Park listening to the Things Above podcast, stop along the way and ask strangers to pray with them, then walk to a coffee shop to hang with a friend, bring your journal and Bible to spend with God, time with God afterwards. So that would be just the whole package in like 30 minutes. You could just bang, no, that was a joke, but I thought I was having. This is an invitation to be whole. This is an invitation to be fully functional. This isn't an invitation to be flawless or faultless. This is an invitation to say, these are the different areas of my life, and I want to bring them under wholeness in Christ. I want to operate on all 8 cylinders. I want to be a wheel that rolls smoothly. And this is just a way to maybe kickstart something in your life, something new, something different. And again, if nothing else, I love thinking over these questions that or these just statements and just kind of reflecting on how true they are in my life. So, is that good?
Who is this
again? This guy, a friend of mine named Michael Bischoff. Soulleader.org is his organization.
Does he go around to churches and stuff?
He used to be, he's really connected with Larry and John back at Seaside,
yeah,
still does some stuff. Yep.
Given.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I'd like to do this just for the next 2 minutes. And would you please, you don't have to be like, I don't know. I think it'd be good for us just to spend a minute. Just, hey, this is where I'm at. Is this weird? Is this too, like, too risky, too vulnerable? No?
I can handle it.
Can we just get up for a second and maybe just share with someone else in this room? Just to kind of break up, because, you know, I see you guys sitting next to your wives, spouses, whatever. But just to kind of share with someone else. Hey, this is something that I kind of learned in this assessment. You don't even have to say, hey, this was my low, was a 14 on number. You just say, hey, you know, one of the things I'd like to work in is you know, emotional formation, and I feel like I could do this. But just get up and share your assessment with someone else, and then maybe discuss what step you're planning on taking. Can we do that? Let's just do that.